Well, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, as we are confronted by God's Word today. And the title of this is Essential Evangelism. And of course, my goal for today, as you turn there, just to give you a little preview, is to persuade you to a more impactful, powerful, stronger, evangelistic-centered life. That would be what my goal would be for you today. And if you already have an evangelistic life, that you'll grow more so in that thought, in that path. True, mature growth in Christ's likeness, if you will. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. And then here's the thrust of our text today. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Robert Murray McShay says, it is not great minds, it is not great plans, it is not great ideas God uses, but it is great Christ-likeness. It is likeness to Jesus Christ. A holy instrument is an awesome weapon in the hand of God. Amen. Are you a holy instrument in the hand of God? So He can use you mightily. So, a holy Christ-like life presents the evidence of a transformation the gospel announces. I'll say that again. A holy Christ-like life presents the evidence of the transformation the gospel announces. In other words, it is not enough to just pew sit and just come to church to be like Christ. It is not enough just to listen to sermons on sermon audio. Although these things are great, we have to. It's part of the essential part of being a Christian, right? That's part of it. But it's not enough just to hang your hat on just one of those things. As we're going to see in our text today, as we're exhorted by the apostle, that we are to preach the gospel and to proclaim the gospel, because that is the one thing, the biggest thing that Jesus was about. And that's what put Him on the cross. That's why He was crucified, was because He proclaimed and preached the truth to this dark world. We are to preach and proclaim the gospel. It is not just for preachers. It is for you, beloved, as Christians. Take the gospel throughout the world. So, Christ's likeness in its fullest expression is not only just spiritual and spiritual maturity and holiness, although it is that, but it is also, as Christ did, a strong passion to seek and save the lost. It is a strong passion for those things. So my question, are you sharing the gospel today? Are you going out and pushing the kingdom and sharing with people the lost and even other Christians? Are you exhorting them to be more like Christ? Is that what you're doing? Because it is not enough just to have virtue without the commitment to Christ. Are you fully committed to Christ Jesus? By the way, the ultimate purpose of the Incarnation was to save a lost and dying world. And evangelism is the heart of what we do. It's why the Lord left us here. So here in our text here in Ephesians 4, the apostle, his goal is for us to have unity in the life of the church. And before we can get to unity and we can park our place at unity, he talks about having one mind and one doctrine and one baptism, one Christ, one gospel. And he goes further to say, if you're in one mind, you're going to preach the Word. And all those things in sync bring unity in the life of the church. So, but before we get to unity, first and foremost, the apostle wants us to be like Christ. And the opposite of that would be, if you want disunity or turmoil or disruption in the church, would be to not be like Christ. But in order to have true unity in one doctrine and one gospel, it is to strive to be like Jesus. And I think about a basketball team. My kids are doing basketball right now, and you got five starters or five players that play on the court. or 11 on the football field. And those five players on the basketball court, four of them are running one play, and one of them says, I'm not going to run that play. I'm going to go over here and do this play. It's going to cause all kinds of problems for that team. But if all five are on the same page and they execute it with great skill, they are going to be a tough team to beat. And so just like the Apostle Paul wants us to see, if the church is in one doctrine, in one mind, and you're submitting to your elders, and you're growing to be like Christ, you're going to be effective. You're going to be a strong local church, and God's going to use Solid Rock mightily.
Amen.
So we must strive for this. Strive to be in sync and in one mind and one doctrine. And to preach the Word. God's means to grow the church is to preach the Word. Now, I could shut the book here and just say, be like Jesus, let's all go home, right? But the Apostle says here in our text, he says it very plainly, that it says, rather, speaking the truth in love. He goes a little further than just to be like Christ. We are to preach the Word in love. So, what does that look like? And if we do this, we get to verse 16 that says the whole body's joined together, unified in one mind. But we have to preach the Word. And so Jesus, who is the greatest preacher of all time, He came into the world and He rocked the world. It's why He was crucified. He was crucified for preaching the truth. And here we are called and exhorted to preach the truth. John 15:20 says, no servant is above his master. And so if they persecute him, they're going to persecute you. So a question you could ask yourself, are you maybe not deaf, but are you experiencing a similar kind of persecution today? Are you experiencing the consequences of preaching the truth to the lost and to the people around you? You know, I've got a lot of family members that just don't come around me anymore because they say, well, he prays before every meal, or he just talks about the Bible at some point while we're sitting down. I just don't like it, is what they say. And so they don't want to come around anymore. And you're going to be tempted, beloved, in those Thanksgiving meals, or those Christmas dinners, to say, or birthday parties, whenever it is, and you got the family around, you know they're lost. You've got some discernment to know that they need Christ, to not say anything. Satan's going to be all over you to try to intimidate you. He can't take your salvation from you, but he can quiet you and get you to not speak up and proclaim the Word. You've got to be strong, and you've got to proclaim the truth to them when a door of opportunity arises.
Amen.
You've got to be firm for Christ. So, keep that in mind. Preach the gospel to them. Being mature in Christ goes beyond the four walls of this church. It's going out. It's not just pew sitting. You're saved for a purpose. I just want to give you a few examples of some of the Hall of Fames of the faith, just to encourage you that this is how the great preachers of the faith brought it to this world. If you look at 2 Peter 2:5, you don't have to turn there, but it says Noah was preserved to be a herald of righteousness.
Yeah.
Noah preached the Word. Moses and Aaron stood up to the Pharaoh proclaiming the truth. David, Psalm 78, it says he was a shepherd to his people and taught them truth with a skillful hand. Paul, a servant and slave of Christ Jesus, it says he was set apart for the gospel of God. That's Romans 1. And then Jesus, our King, Mark 1:15 says, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom is at hand. Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel.
Amen.
That's what we're about, preaching the gospel to a dying, lost world.
Amen.
That's why we're here. Now, really quickly as I close, the gospel is the good news, right? It's not good advice or suggestion. Let's make that clear. It's not what you should do. News is a report of what has been done for us.
Amen.
This is a command, not a suggestion. You are commanding all people to repent and believe the gospel. We are not nearly suggesting it. Well, it might be good for you. No, it's a command.
Right.
Repent and believe. Turn from your ways and run to Christ. That's what you are claimed and called to do. And by the way, you've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. You are a slave not to the darkness anymore, to Satan. You are a slave to Christ.
Amen.
This is what He commands us to do. Really fast, in verse 15 it says, speaking the truth, it says, in love. That means there's no compromise when it comes to truth. True, amen to that? Well, you don't compromise truth. But Paul wants us speaking the truth in the right frame of mind, or the right spirit, or the right heart. So we need to be prayed up, We need to meditate on the Scriptures before we bring the Scriptures to people. We need to pray for open doors of opportunity. If you know a lost family member is coming to your house, pray about it. Say, Lord, open up a door of opportunity for me to get the gospel to him or her today.
Amen.
Or tomorrow, whenever it is. We need to be in the right frame of mind. And if spoken any other way than love, the result is a one-sided testimony. I quote this man, truth is the element in which we have our being, in which we live. But truth must be inseparably married to love. Good tidings spoken harshly are not good tidings. The charm of the message is destroyed by the poor spirit of the messenger. Be careful when you bring this powerful truth, and it is powerful.
Yes.
It is the truth of all truths, the gospel. But be in a right frame of mind when you bring it. Bring it in love. Truth in love. We've got to have them together. By the way, the Prince of Preachers, Spurgeon himself, he had the depths of Calvinism and the doctrines of grace, but he had the breadth and love for evangelism. He had both. And that's why he was so powerful and effective in the evangelism evangelist that he was, and the preacher that he was. We must have both, beloved. By the way, a one-sided Calvinism is just someone that's full of knowledge and pride. And then on the flip side, the other ditch, a one-sided evangelist is more than just, it's just pragmatism. And what did you say, Brian? Puppet shows and popcorn and shows. But you got to have both. You got to have Calvinism and the doctrines of grace and the love for people and evangelism. And if you have both, beloved, that is a Christian that will be used mightily in the hands of God.
Amen.
And an enemy and great threat to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, and we're thankful that the apostle reminds us that we are to preach the truth in love, and we are to be in the right frame of mind. And oh Lord, we're so thankful for this truth that saves, it's a power to save. We do not add anything to it. It is perfect as it is. The message is perfect. The mission was fulfilled. Christ Jesus accomplished everything on the cross. We just have to proclaim it. We are the means. You use us, Lord. You saved us for a purpose to bring the message to this lost and dying world. Let us be on Team Christ and not for Satan. Lord, let us preach the gospel for Christ. Let us not be ashamed of Christ, Lord. Evangelism is what we're all called to do, is to preach the message. Let us be more effective and let us be preaching the gospel today and forevermore. We love you. We praise your holy and precious name. Be with us this hour, I pray. Amen.
Amen.